Hey, listeners, that's the sound of Green Heart, the Vegan Vibe. I bet you didn't see the intro coming, huh? We got Eric to play it on the flute. So props to Eric. This week it's just going to be me, Alex, because Brandon is off at university, and I decided to put out a 0.5 episode. What's a 0.5 episode? Stay tuned. Okay, so housekeeping issues before we get to our special guest for this 0.5 episode. A 0.5 episode is going to be more common in our feed. You'll see them more frequently. Brennan and I are trying to supplement our regular podcast with as many 0.5s as we can to give you guys more diverse material. So instead of just giving you guys a regular podcast, we're also going to try to put out as many 0.5s as we can to give you guys more material more frequently and give you more diversity. Because in this episode, we're not going to have our regular segments, but rather we're going to have an interview. And our other 0.5s will follow suit in that they won't be the same as our regular podcasts. Keeping on with housekeeping, I'm doing some coding on our site, and it looks pretty good, I think. The responses that we have said the same, so I'm glad you guys are liking it. If you see any mistakes, and a few people have, make sure to bring them to my or Brennan's attention so we can fix it as soon as possible. The OmniVeg poll, which some of you know about, is coming along. Go over to our blog to cast your vote. Go to greenhearts.ca, our main site, and in the menu bar you'll see something that says blog. If you click on that, you can go over to our blog and you'll see the poll and vote on your diet. So as thus far, the Omnis, which includes pescetarians, is at 56%. And the vegetarians, vegans, and strict vegetarians are at 44%. So that's pretty close. I think that we need to get some vegetarian action in here and kick some Omni butt. I'm just kidding. You guys, try as hard as you can to get your side winning. We'll see who can win.
Go vegans, go!
We seem to be getting more Omnis and vegans, but not much of the in-between. So that's really cool that we have such a diverse listening base.
Go vegans, go!
Now on to our special guest, who's apparently impatient. We have Kathy with us, and she's been a vegetarian for about 35 years. She's going to come on our podcast on a later episode to talk about some books that she's written. For all intents and purposes for this episode, she is the vegetarian for 35 years. So, say hello to our listeners, Kathy.
Hi, guys.
I have a few questions lined up for you. Let's start with, what age did you go vegetarian?
Actually, I started being a vegetarian or pseudo-vegetarian at 13 years old, which was young in those days and very unknown with regards to what defined a vegetarian. But it was something that I chose to do because I saw an ad in a paper for veal, which really struck me and stayed with me. The visual was a calf whose head was clearly restrained between 2x4s, and the caption described the calf's life. The reason they do that, to hold the calf in such a restrictive motion, if you wish, is to soften up the meat so that they have less muscle and it's more tender for us, the consumer. And at that point, I realized what my needs were, and they didn't include treating animals that way. That really stuck with me. You know, to see a calf like that, it's just unbelievable. It hits you and it sticks in your memory.
Tough stuff. So it looks like animal rights did exist 35 years ago.
They did. They were just coming out, and you know, it wasn't well known. We looked at animal rights as an issue of people who were extremists. If you were an animal activist, you certainly didn't publicize it. You did it behind closed doors.
And was it mostly welfareist reforms or abolitionist reforms back then? By that I mean, for example, PETA would be a welfareist reform because they promote the welfare of animals, whereas more individuals, not huge groups, generally speaking, are abolitionists because it's hard for huge groups that are abolitionists to get public funding. Anyway, that's another topic. So abolitionists believe in the abolition of animals for our use. Like, you wouldn't eat them and you wouldn't eat their byproducts. They promote veganism, basically.
Well, in my days, 35 years ago, PETA was very well known for spraying paint or dumping paint on fur coats. And that's about it for PETA.
Really? 35 years ago?
35 years ago. You know, we had a lot of, in those days, people wore fur coats and it was very popular. It sort of described a social status, if you wish. And especially Hollywood stars, they were walking around with their fur coats. And what attracted attention there was red paint on white animals. That was the extent for a general population to know about animal rights.
Well, that's pretty sad that it started off with PETA. I guess that's why some people have pretty bad misconceptions of us.
And still to this day.
What did others think of you when you became vegetarian?
It was interesting. I got various responses from different people. My family were taken aback. They were concerned about health issues, which I think everybody, you know, in a family circle really worry about. My friends didn't really understand how I was going to become a vegetarian, but supported the idea of vegetarianism because it was cool, but wouldn't consider it themselves. They would think about it, but when it came down to actually doing it, their idea was bringing an apple to lunch, which, you know, just wouldn't cut it. When I went out to restaurants, it was easier for a server to understand I had leprosy than to actually understand what vegetarianism was. So, you know, I could have gone in there with spots and bandages everywhere and said, oh yeah, you're a leper. Okay, good. That's really neat. Oh, awesome. Yes, I understand. I know a lot about it. But you go in there and you say you're vegetarian, say, so you want a carrot and some lettuce?
You're a vegetarian, the lights dim. You're what?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there were some growing pains along the way. But for the most part, it didn't deter me. It was tough at some times, even for my own knowledge base, which was very limited. So at that point, being a vegetarian meant not eating animals. And it was interesting because not eating animals should include all animals, which, you know, include sea animals like fish and lobster and shrimp. But in my idea, because I lacked the backing, the knowledge of vegetarianism and veganism, is that, you know, well, I can still have fish. You know, and as I grew older, I still started looking at fish and lobsters, especially when you go to, you know, the Red Lobster, and you actually look at the lobsters in the aquariums beside you, and then you think, that one's dead in 5 minutes. Somebody's going to order it, and it's going to boil. And I just couldn't do that. I just couldn't do it. So, you know, there went the fish, there went the lobster, and there went the scallops. I had to come to terms with, if you're going to do this, then you have to do it for all animals. You can't just say, well, you know, these animals are okay, these animals aren't. If you're going to do it for animals, then you do it on the principle of animals and you make it a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. Was it harder being a vegetarian back then as opposed to now? Like, were there the same options available?
Actually, being a vegetarian back then, people's definition of vegetarian as a general population was, yeah, here's an apple, here's a carrot, and here's a, you know, a leaf of salad. But there are a lot more options today. People know more about vegetarianism, a lot more about veganism. Health reports have come out. So actually everybody knows that if you're diabetic, you got to cut down on the meats. If you're actually anybody who has heart problems should be cutting down on the meat as well. So that's probably 99.9% of our population above 45.
Yeah, actually I was just searching on the net today for some plantains because I wanted to see what their nutritional data was. And I just stumbled upon something that was talking about how a plant-based diet, i.e. lessening your intake of meat, is quite healthy for you. And I just think it's funny how you can't really escape it.
No matter what you try.
Which is awesome. All right, continuing on. What allowed you to keep this vegetarianism throughout your life?
Just the principle. I think the number one thing was actually that visual. The visual of the veal, I go back to it, you know, the calf. It really did stick into my mind. And even if I did consider, which I didn't, you know how some people say, oh, you must miss meat. I really didn't. I just couldn't see myself doing that. It just, you know, seeing the face of an animal just wasn't worth it. I didn't feel like I was above these animals.
Yeah. And if these animals knew that you'd be eating them, they'd be thinking things like... I'm just playing around with the sound effects here. It's awesome.
They would be thinking that, and I think they'd have a higher squeal as well, you know. So I just couldn't do that, you know.
Or maybe they'd be thinking things like.
Well, absolutely. We would never entertain the idea, at least in North America. We would never entertain the idea of eating our dogs, right? Yeah. Or our cats. And yet in other countries we do. So it's all relative to what is acceptable to that population. And I think the more vegetarian and veganism becomes popular and known, more people are going to stand firm in their belief and say, you know, I can't do this to an animal. Like, what makes it right?
Because yeah, really, I think it's really funny that there's such a big moral disconnect between eating dogs and eating other animals.
They're the
same thing.
Yeah, and you know, when you talk to people, say, well, that's not the same. But in fact, it is. Just because we've domesticated, you know, our dogs and our cats, some people have domesticated hogs, and they wouldn't consider eating them, but yet they'd go to the store and buy a pork chop. You know?
Oh, that wasn't the right one.
But that's the whole point, you know. I just can't see myself petting my dog 1 minute and saying, okay, Sonny, let's go to the back shed there and pop your head off. Can't do it.
Pretty brutal.
Yeah.
So you have kids?
I do. I have two boys. And when we brought them up, it was the decision that we had to choose between meat eaters or, you know, whether they're going to become vegetarian. And although I would have liked for them to be vegetarian, you know, there was the family situation in that case was, let's eat meat. Okay, enough of those crickets. You know, I had talk about crickets. You know, we had two geckos, which are little leopards, and that was part of my dilemma as well, feeding live crickets to my geckos. You know, it just didn't sit well with me.
Yeah, actually, that brings up an interesting point. A lot of people who criticize veganism say that it's inconsistent if you have animals and you feed them meat products, which clearly you do if you have a cat or a dog. Before I get into that, if you have a dog, you can feed them a vegetarian diet, and it's quite easy and healthy for the dog. Although cats, it's not as easy to do, but I'm sure there's some research out there that tells you how to do it. I just think it's more difficult. Anyway, I think that if you have an animal who eats meat, you have an obligation to keep on feeding them whatever their natural diet is, because you made a commitment to them. Like, you took them on from a shelter, wherever you got them, hopefully from a shelter, and you said, this is going to be something that I'm going to do, and I'm going to help this animal throughout their life. Okay, that's kind of a little tangent. If you could change the upbringing of your kids with regards to their diet, would you?
I would. I probably would have. What we decided, to go back to your previous question, is that when we had the children, we decided that they would be meat eaters, because there wasn't much research at the time to create a smooth transition from meat eating to vegetarianism. And in the family that I was in, they were very much meat eaters. To become vegetarian at a younger age would have been difficult for just a lifestyle. Otherwise, I would have done it earlier. If I had to redo it again, I would start them definitely earlier. Because now I know more about vegetarianism and veganism, which I didn't know then. So they probably would have been unhealthy vegetarians at a young age. Having done that, you know, their father would have corrected that, because he does follow up with a lot of research, and he would have added more protein and everything else. So they would have been good vegetarians. They would have been healthy vegetarians.
Oh, protein. Please don't say protein.
Well, it's one of the...
Seriously.
It's one of the greatest and long-lived myths with vegetarian. That and, you know...
Those cows aren't saying moo, they're saying boo. There's no such thing as protein deficiency. Well, there is, but it's really difficult. You have to really give her to get a protein deficiency if you're vegetarian. While I'm talking about that, the myth about protein completion, you know, about the different amino acids, that's definitely a myth created by diet for a small planet. Although it's important to balance your protein, if you eat a reasonable variety of foods throughout your day, that's completely fine. And even besides that, you get enough protein just with, like, the levels that you have of different amino acids. Ah, the protein myth. Okay, onward.
But it is a real obstacle for many, and you know, as you say, it's a myth. It's still being debated today by many people. Even vegetarians still don't recognize that it's a myth. It's the same thing as anemia, you know.
Well, scientists around the world agree that it's a myth. There's nothing published that talks about how protein is tough to get in a vegetarian diet. And if there is, then they refer to people who don't have enough calories.
But you're talking about a vegetarian diet that's more than a leaf of salad and carrot.
Right, exactly. If you're a vegetarian and you're not getting enough calories, then you're not getting enough protein. I can probably guarantee you that. But if you're a vegetarian and you're getting enough calories, even if you have a bad diet, you're likely getting enough protein. Although if you have a healthy and varied diet, you're going to get your protein for sure.
So eating one apple a day, which makes you a vegetarian, doesn't necessarily make you healthy.
No, for sure not. Right. We could get into the health of vegetarians. So can you give any advice to aspiring teen vegetarians?
Oh, absolutely, because that's when I started at 13. You know, if you want to become a vegetarian, read up on it. Look for people who are vegetarian and communicate with them. Blog with them, you know, keep in touch with them. You need that support. You need to know how to answer questions. You need to be a healthy vegetarian. To do that, you need to know what you're doing as a vegetarian. It's not just a question of having an apple a day or a leaf of lettuce and some carrots or, you know, some onions. It is actually creating a balanced vegetarian diet. And if you want to go full speed ahead, then become a vegan. It's more and more acceptable. It's easier to do because we have so many children and adults now who are gluten intolerant, who have a lot of dietary exceptions and needs. So it's very easy to become vegan. My first thing would be read what defines a vegetarian and what defines a vegan. Decide what you're going to be And there's not much difference. If you're going to be a vegetarian, you might as well be a vegan.
And you should, just because it's kind of morally inconsistent to be a vegetarian for animal rights reasons, in that whether you support being a vegetarian because animals suffer or because you don't promote the commoditization of animals, either way, you're promoting that if you're just a vegetarian as opposed to a vegan. And I'm not criticizing. Vegetarian is a great step. But if you want to go all the way, then you should go vegan.
It's healthier. You know, people who have allergies, people who have food sensitivities, or we have so many people who have irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, colitis, you name it. There's so many things out there, heart disease, diabetes, that becoming a vegetarian is actually the healthiest decision that you could possibly make within your life.
Well, let's be clear. Being a healthy vegan would be the best choice you can make. Yes. You can definitely be an unhealthy vegan. There's some great cookie recipes that I have that would gain you 3 to 30 pounds.
Well, that's the other thing. Being a vegetarian, everybody thinks, oh, if I'm going to be a vegetarian, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Well, if that would work, man, I'd be a size 5'6" right now, and clearly I'm not. So, you know, it's a lifestyle choice. That has to be made clear. People don't become vegetarians if they know what a vegetarian is to lose weight. That doesn't work.
So anything else that you'd like to share?
I don't know. I think, you know, if you're going to become a vegetarian, don't accept just an apple for lunch, and don't accept a leaf of lettuce and a carrot to chew on. Know what you're doing. Go ahead and do it and enjoy it. You'll find that more people will become interested in your choice, and it'll be your opportunity to help people understand and to perpetuate, you know, vegetarianism and veganism. And when you're a teen, that's the best time to do it. That's your highest level of influence with regards to peers around you. And I say, go ahead and do it.
Cool.
You know, just share it with your parents, because, you know, they don't want to be catching you eating a pizza under your bed because you haven't had enough for supper because you didn't tell them that you were a vegetarian or a vegan.
Well, thanks a lot for being on our show this week.
Well, thanks for asking me.
Kathy is an author, a published author. She has a website that you can find at www.wildberryproductions.ca. We're going to have her in another podcast talking about her site and her books. But if you want to get a head start on that, you can go over to our website and check out the books that she writes. They're children's books, and that's all I'm going to say for now, until we interview her on our books later. You can find us at greenhearts.ca. You can email us at greenhearts@live.ca, and please do. We look forward to them. We have some listener emails coming up in future shows, so thanks for listening, guys, and any feedback would be appreciated regarding these 0.5 shows. Bye.
Bye.
I was wondering
what you were doing.
The mouse for the computer doesn't control the laptop.